Father, your word is true. Thank you for your undying, unending love for us. And Father, thank you for loving us just the way we are. But thank you for loving us too much to leave us just the way we are. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Go ahead and turn to Mark 4. I'm not going to teach what Dave did touch on in the 8:30 class. How many was here at 8:30? See, and he went a little deeper, a little further than I've heard him go before on the subject. And I'm not going to try and reteach that at all. But I there's a warning from the Spirit. Because when we gather together, what Dave is doing right now, unlocking these mysteries, sometimes you might have the tendency to go, okay, so the priests had to be blinded from the truth for a season. Otherwise, they would never have crucified Jesus. Okay, I get that. What does that have to do with my Sears bill? Or what does it... And then as he's going on with other doctrines, the tendency, the warning may be, pay attention. This is a lot more important than you think. And having no cracks in our foundation, you think of all the people that has contended for revival before us, and most of them did not make it. Very few of them ever have, and really sustained revival very long. And the reason why, there were cracks in the foundation that the enemy was able to exploit. So I'm just going to look at just a couple of things, and there may be a lot more that I don't understand yet, but just a couple of things that Dave brought out just today in that 8:30 service, that some of the practical reasons why we've got to have it and why it's so important for revival, okay? All right. So Mark chapter 4. Yes, sir. And even before I begin that, because Dave, you know, we've got to get our mind going down that path again. Remember when God first showed Dave the born-again trail? And the question really Dave was asking was, okay, Jesus, Father, we're not arguing with you. We believe these verses. The works that you do, shall we do also, and greater than these shall we do. All things are possible to him that believes. Father, we're not arguing with you. We agree with you in as far as we know how. But Father, it seems like when we try and step out and act on those verses, we're not having the same results that you indicate in your word. And then Dave said it like this. He says, and it seems like the journey from knowing those verses and operating in those verses, that journey seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. Well, it was in that frame of mind that the Lord showed Dave the born-again trail. And he said, son, all of the answers to the questions you're asking me are on that trail. All of them. That includes revival. Okay? Now, he said part of the problem is so many verses that nobody ever teaches on, they just leave them out. Well, why do they leave them out? Well, because they don't know what they mean. But he said part of the reason why nobody's really operating in the fullness of the born-again trail is that problem right there. The verses that they leave out, there's gaps in the foundation. There's things they do not understand that they're going to have to understand. Okay, so that's why here, you know, what, 10 years down the road or somewhere like that, he's still opening up these mysteries, and especially on verses that are hard to understand. And so we're just going to look at a couple of just the practical applications in today's modern church world of some of why this is important. Before I even get to these, see, one of the tactics of the, you know, y'all know right now there's a false move in the church, shall we call it the trinket revival? Where these angels are, you know, people are receiving messages from angels, and they're teaching others how to receive a message from your angel. How to find out your angel's personal name. This stuff's all over the internet. Oh, yeah. And all kinds of signs and, you know, gold. It started off with gold dusting. That was real common. Well, now there's these jewels, gems, and, you know, I like what... It's amazing to me that God will coat somebody with gold dust and put a neck, you know, jewels in their hand and leave them in a wheelchair. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Where do you find that in the gospel? Where do you find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So, but they were trying, those demons were trying to get Dave off into at least some aspect of it in that choir thing. You know, they were singing to him. He thought they were angels. They sounded like angels. See, but you know, if you listen closely, Dave says, you know, see, subtly, real subtle. Real subtle. That was, what hook were they trying, what were they trying to snag with that? Something in, just a little bit of something left. Oh, Dave, you're just special. You're just special, you know, and now you've attained to where you can enter into the worship of the heavenly choir. Boy, and it came close, you know. He thought about it. Remember, one whole year went by before he finally really understood what it was. What if he had fallen for that? It wouldn't have been long. He'd have us in here seeking after hearing the angels sing. And we'd be off on the trail. Here we'd be off on some kind of trinket revival. These things are important. So what did God do? God started having Dave really dig out all these things on angels and a lot of the false doctrine that's still in the church today on angels, saying that the giants of old were because of, you know, the angels having relations, intercourse with humans. And the plain truth is, Jesus says angels can't even do that. They don't even have that capacity, you know. It is amazing. I was taught that the very church before we came here, the same guy that taught me that the anointing wouldn't go through rubber soles of shoes. Now, be careful before you laugh too much. That guy probably walks in a stronger anointing than you do. I've seen a lot of people get healed under his ministry. But he was absolutely convinced that part of the reason for his success was that he never wore shoes that had rubber soles. because it's a man-made material. Now, I guess real natural rubber, but nobody uses real natural rubber. They use man-made stuff, you know. He was convinced that the anointing would only pass through God-made things, like leather. Well, he also believed that the giants were from angels. Here we go again. Another guy, he's having some success. This guy loves Jesus. Yeah. He's leading people to Jesus, getting them baptized in the Holy Ghost, and has a pretty good healing anointing. Pretty good. The first ministry, the first line I was ever in where I personally, when I was resisting, got flattened out by the Holy Ghost, was in his line. You know, I didn't even believe in it before then. When you're getting off the floor, you start to believe it. You know, I think maybe this is real, you know. And it wasn't a flash in the pan. We were with them for 4 or 5 years, you know. All right. So even with the angels and all that teaching, Dave is not just having fun. Now, he's put in a lot of humor, you know. What is that? KT equal MC squared, kindergarten teaching equal milk carton squares. You know, he's having a lot of fun with it because a lot of people believe this to the core. I mean, they believe in this stuff, and it's going to take a lot to change it in the body of Christ. Well, let's look at some of the things here tonight. This is a verse that I stumbled over to. I just flat didn't know what it meant. I'd read it, and it's in Mark 4. It's in between where he gave the parable and where he gave the interpretation of the parable. And we'll just pick it up here in verse 10. It said, "When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? Now here's the hard part. That seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand." Well, I'm glad he's not that way with me. "Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And like Dave says, we can't have that. I mean, I remember stumbling over that verse. I'd be teaching in a Bible study somewhere, and what you try and do is you finish the parable, you expound for a little bit, then you pick it right up on the explanation of the parable. You just jump over those verses. I didn't know what they meant either. Well, I'm not going to reteach that tonight. You can get the tape from the 8:30. I'll tell you where the verses are that explain it, though. One of them is Acts chapter 3. You can write this down, look it up later. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. That's the one that says, if the princes of this world had known, if they'd have known the truth, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have crucified him. In other words, if the chief priests, that the priest had known who Jesus really was, they would never have sent him to the cross. Well, and it had to be the priest that offered up the lamb. It had to be. So for them, the elders, that truth was withheld during that period of time from them. Today, Dave was teaching from another passage. He did make himself known to the average normal Joe Blow Jew. They went village to village to village to village teaching. But to that elite group, the priest and the elders, the truth was withheld from them for a season in order that they go ahead and offer up the lamb. Because if the lamb is never offered, we are never saved. Just so you'll see it though now. Did they get a chance to repent? Well, let's go ahead and look real quick at Acts chapter. Hold your place in Mark 4. Just in case you haven't seen this. Acts chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 13, really. The really important part is 17 through 19. But it says, this is Peter. This is after the lame man was healed. And he's giving his justification to the same elders and priests and the same ones that were darkened before. This is the same bunch that pushed for Jesus to be crucified. So in verse 13, he says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up. You delivered him up to the cross. And you denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." In other words, Pilate was going to let the man go. "But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." God, I love this boldness. "His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." He's talking about that lame man, birth defect, born lame from his mother's womb, 40 years old, and got healed. Now here it is. "And now, brethren, I understand that through ignorance you did it." That ignorance is the very blinding that Jesus was referring to over here in Mark chapter 4, verse 12. That they won't understand. He couldn't let them understand. He couldn't let them perceive. Otherwise, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he said, "And I understand that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God hath before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And he goes on after that. And as you know, at the altar call, how many were saved that day? 5,000 people. 5,000 from the healing of one lame man that everybody in town knew. Now, so they got a chance to repent. So now I know what this verse means. Okay? Now, just come on down to the end of this parable. Let's look at another one. See, I remember my early days and when they would teach Mark 4, it was all about me. There are levels to understanding in the Word. What I was taught is not exactly wrong. Normally, at the baby level, at the new believer level, the sower sows the Word. Usually, how's that told to you? Well, listen, you may not understand that healing is for today. But healing is for today. And you need to sow the Word into yourself. And if you don't believe it at first, you've got to keep sowing. Now, the circumstances are going to come. You've got to persevere past that. On and on and on. That is a level of faith to walk in. There's nothing wrong with that. That's sort of the entry level to what this passage is all about. But see, really, ultimately, if your understanding stays at the babyhood level, there's verses, conclusions at the end of this you'll never understand. He's trying. Now, remember, God can give a gifts revival to babies. We've had how many of those? For benefit of the tape, there are actually people here. Y'all are so quiet. God has and can and will, you know, probably will do that again. You know, gifts revivals through babies. Now, how many times have we talked? That's not what he's after here. He's after a revival of maturity, resident anointings that we're not going to go out and run out and be marketing our gifts and selling our gifts and building towers to ourselves. But we're going to truly be conformed to the image of Christ and let Christ simply live through us. That's it. And demonstrate himself to a lost and dying world, okay? So he's after a maturity revival. Well, now that means we can't stay at the babyhood level of our understanding of these things. So y'all know that Mark 4, you've probably heard it many, many times. I remember when that was my only understanding of it. So then down here at the end, where he starts giving conclusions in verse 21. In fact, just so you'll know, back up to verse 20. So you're real familiar. "These are they which are sown on good ground. such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But then when he starts into these conclusions, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now, the babyhood understanding of that, Dave talked about with his first level. It was pretty well the first way I understood it. Oh, as you sow the word into yourself, you begin to think like God thinks. And it's like, you know, what does a candle bring? It brings illumination. So you are illuminated, and it's true. You begin to think like God. I can be saved. I can be healed. I can be prospered. Glory to God. So it brings illumination. See, and there's nothing wrong with that, really. Yet that is a valid way to teach it. But we're after, what does he really mean? This whole passage, he's not really talking about you getting... It's okay to use it to get healed. He's really teaching the new birth. The sower sows the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. When you got born again, the word was sown into you. And he's really talking here about the new birth. He's not talking about your mind will get illuminated, all right, as you understand the word. But what he's really talking about, in the Old Testament, it talks about the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Trouble of it is, when you're born the first time in this earth, that candle is born, it's not lit. It's darkness, because we're born spiritually dead. What he's talking about here, when the word really gets sown into you, and you're not driven away by persecution, cares of this life, you stick with it, and that his life really becomes your light, you get born again. That candle, that dead spirit on the inside of you, God lights your candle. Glory to God. And he's talking about the new birth. He's talking about the light that comes, that shines in the darkness, as Paul wrote over in Corinthians, that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, so what does it mean here when it says, well, now, isn't that light brought to give the light? I mean, you know, you don't hide it under a bed if you've got a shining light. In other words, the people out there, they don't understand right now what's about to happen. Later on, you're going to understand what happens because you're going to be born again. And there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. He just got through saying up here in something 12, the understanding was being hid from them for a season. But later on in Acts chapter 3, we just look at it, the things that were hidden are now being manifested. It makes perfect sense. He's saying, look, there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Later on, you guys are going to be the candlestick, the light that I'm going to use to illuminate even those from which these things have been withheld. Hallelujah. All right? Now, this next part is so important because there's a major doctrine in the body of Christ. TV preachers are preaching it right now, some of the best known in the land. Don't ask me who they are. I'm not going to tell you. You probably would. I mean, I know you would know them if I said. But there's a doctrine right now that there are two covenants. One for the Gentile, one for the Jew. And they're saying, don't be too hard on trying to preach the gospel to these Jews. I mean, they've got their own covenant with God. And they're going to be okay whether they accept Jesus Christ or not. I mean, if you guys don't know, that is being taught in a major way by some of the most prominent people in the land. Okay? And it's a doctrine straight from hell, and it does not agree with Jesus. And the reason, I mean, the answer has been in right here the whole time. Now look at this. Now he says, verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, God, I remember how... I have heard so much flaky teaching on this verse. I have had so many random thoughts of my own. See, here we go again. Don't ever try and force a revelation. You got to pray and meditate and pray and meditate till the Holy Spirit gives you the truth. I have heard so many things. He that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In the babyhood stage of the faith movement, they were saying, if you don't have faith, you know, if you have faith, more is going to be added to you. But if you don't have faith in these things, even what you have will be taken away. That's not 100% wrong, I guess, you know. But it is absolutely not what he is talking about. He is talking about in reference to the Jew. And he's saying, you better take heed what you hear. If you will receive what I'm telling you, if you will hear and listen to this message and follow me all the way, your candle will be lit and you will come into the new covenant. But if you choose to refuse my words and refuse what I say and refuse my offering, that which you have trusted in, what has the Jew trusted in?
The law.
That is going to be taken away as a means of salvation. You want to see it? A second witness? John 15. Now that right there, I'm telling you, there are people. Who has heard that besides me? Raise your hand. Those of you that's heard it on TV or read it in books and know that I'm telling the truth. And we're talking major, major ministries. I'm sorry? They tell you not to witness to the Jew. That, listen, what the Jew trusted in before is gone. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, which was a type of that whole system, no man eat fruit of thee again forever. It's not one or the other. It is Christ or perish. John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and you might as well know that's the same word, purged. Now you are purged, but these guys are following, they're staying with Jesus. You are purged through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now get this. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, what happens to him? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. How strong a picture can he paint? And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. The whole letter of Hebrews is about that verse. The whole letter of Hebrews, the whole letter written to the Hebrew Christians, because tremendous pressure was being put on them to go back under the law. And if they do, if they say, I reject Christ as my Savior, I reject the blood of Jesus, I return back to the law of Moses, and I put my trust in the law to save me, if they do that, is that a secondary way of salvation? No. He says, if you don't abide in me, you are cast off, you're cut off like a branch, thrown into the fire to be burned. How about a third witness? You like a third witness? Romans 11. But see, these verses mean what they mean in the setting that God gave them. And they don't really mean anything else. And what if the whole church knew this? Man, they'd be, all of a sudden, they'd be witnessing the Jews again like they have been most of the centuries. But the trouble is, there'd be some big name ministries that have a lot of egg on their face. That if they just repent, they can repent too. People don't mind it if you say, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I'm changing now. You know, I mean, I was just wrong, you know. I pray you forgive me. But if you don't do that, eventually you're going to wind up, God, for the sake of the sheep, is going to have to judge it, you know. For the sake of the lost. Oh, I'm not going to witness anymore to Jewish people because they're okay. No, they're not! Oh, sorry. Like Dave says, was I yelling? Look at this. Oh, goodness. Romans 11, verse 17. Now, he starts this passage off saying, you know, he would be back in Romans 9. He starts it off, this whole 9, 10, and 11 saying, He said, the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost was standing right here where you could see Him, what I'm about to tell you, He would bear witness that what I'm saying is the truth. And He's saying, I would be willing myself, Paul, I would be willing to be cut off from Christ and suffer eternal damnation if my brethren, the Jew, could be saved. See, I don't love them that much. I don't even love my own children that much, I'll be honest with you. I love them, but not enough to where I'm going to suffer eternal hell for them. But Paul had come to that place, see. And he said, the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm not boasting. If the Holy Ghost was standing here, He'd give you witness what I'm saying is the truth. Well, if He's got that kind of intercession for him, doesn't sound to me like Paul thought the Jew was okay. You know, yeah, just leave them alone. They're okay. They got a separate covenant. No. Now watch this. He's teaching the same thing here in Romans 11 that Jesus was teaching over here in the book of Mark and also in the book of John. All right, so let's pick it up here. Where did I say? Okay, let's start in verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that's the Jew, and might save some of them. That doesn't sound like to me like he thought they were already saved. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, they were what? Some of the branches were what? If a man abide not in me, he is cast off like a branch. Okay. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, well, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of what? Because of unbelief they were broken off. Unbelief in what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We don't believe you. We reject you. We're going to put you on a cross and get you out of here. I choose Moses. Boy, I mean at the cross, when that veil was rent in the Holy of Holies from the top to the bottom, wonder what kind of angel that was. I mean that covenant ended. It was over. And anyone that rejects Jesus, Jew or Gentile, they are cut off from the vine. Cut off. We need to preach it that way too. And I don't care how many TV preachers say otherwise. Someday I may be a TV preacher. I wonder if I ought to keep saying that. Anyway. Because of unbelief they were broken off. That's exactly what he was teaching over there in John 15. If you do not abide in me, that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying over and over and over again. He says, no, don't you go back. Don't you be moved by all these circumstances. Don't you be moved by the persecution. Don't tread underfoot the blood of the Lamb and count it an unholy thing. Don't you go back. It's the same thing, see. He says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We could go on and on, but you see the point. There's one more that Dave said the Holy Ghost didn't get it, that understanding to him from Romans 11. For him, it was when Jesus was teaching, reminding them about Moses. And he says, Moses told you way back then. He said, there's going to be another prophet. He spoke of me. There's going to be another prophet arise. And him you're supposed to listen to. And anyone that will not hearken to that prophet shall be what? Cut off from among his people. The same imagery again. Cut off from among his people. All right. So go back to Mark 4 again. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Tim and I, we hardly ever get to talk. I mean, I count it a rare time when we get to. Sometimes when he and I talk, you know, the things that we get to hear going to this church, the truths that have been unveiled, we feel almost like God's pets. I mean, why me? Of all the people on here, how did I stumble into this place? The trouble of it is I didn't stumble into it. I know the Lord led me into it. Listen, people, we need to not take these things for granted. We need to be paying attention. I thank God that I finally know what Mark 4 is talking about. Some of this I had pretty good, and some of it I didn't have so pretty good. But see, now I know what that's talking about. Look at verse 25 again now, see. Once you know the truth, you can't go back. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Let's do it that way. All right, now let's keeping everything in context. Have not we been taught over and over and over again? In the same chapter is where he, look at verse 12. We'll start there. All right, there's things that's going to be hidden. Seeing they may see, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? Well, they'll see them, but they won't really see. They won't perceive the truth. They'll hear, but they won't really hear, and they won't understand. In other words, it's going to be hidden from them for a season. I'm sure at the time the disciples had no idea why. Thank God later on they understood why. And it tells you real plain, if the princes of this world, if the elders had understood that Jesus, who He really was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And He had to be crucified. So with that understanding, something had to be hid. Then He's talking about, now there's going to, this sowing of the Word He's talking about here now, do you understand? Between now and then, God is going to sow the new nature into you. I'm sure they did not understand that at the time. But that is what He's talking about. Now, those other babyhood levels are fine. Yes, you need to renew your mind according to the Word, and it's okay to use this. But really what He's talking about is the reason that there has to be something hid is so the Lamb can be offered, so God can sow the Word, the nature of Christ, into you at the new birth. And at that time, your candle will be lit. And by then, you can become the very one who illuminates those from whom it was hidden. So now they will have a chance to repent. But if they choose not to, even what they're trusting in now is going to be taken away from them. God, that's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. And if you know that and you really understand it, then the next time you hear Him say on TV, oh, you don't need to pray for the Jew. Don't bother witnessing for the Jew. There's two different covenants. No, there's not. Now, it does say, we didn't finish over there in Romans 11. The way it ends is, you know, and the last thing He said is, God has concluded them all in unbelief so that He may have mercy on them all. Now, I've heard Him take that verse out by itself and say, see, there all the Jews are just going to be saved anyway. No. He's had mercy on the whole human race, Jew and Gentile. You can believe in Jesus if you choose to. He has had mercy on us all. The Lamb died for the Jew as much as He died for the Gentile. He's had mercy on us all. He just concluded all of us in unbelief, Jew and Gentile. And you can have Jesus if you want Him. Glory to God. Is that good stuff or what? So again, without going into depth and reteaching, some of these things on the surface, I was just looking around. I was surprised how few was here this morning. Now the devil's, that's got to stop. I'm telling you, that's got to stop. Here we've run all this way. We're coming down to the understandings that's been hidden for thousands of years. And now all of a sudden the enemy's, where is everybody? What's going on? You know? Well, yeah. Faster going faster, and the slow is going to go slower. But I'm calling them in. Amen. You know, good Lord, these people have been with us a long time. You know, I was looking around there today, said, what in the world? Now, I know part of it is we just had a conference and everything. Father, we just call them all in. Father, all these that have labored with us, prayed with us, sat through meeting after meeting, Lord, worship and all of the things, Lord, Father, we don't want them falling away now. And I know you don't want them falling away now. Father, we're coming towards some kind of finish line. I keep seeing that when I pray. This is the time to get our second wind. This is the time to put an extra kick in our step. See that finish line and get rejuvenated again. Father, we're calling them all in by Your Spirit, Lord. Send angels to stir them up. Send something like, I've got to be there. I don't know why I've got to be there, but I've got to be there. I got to be there. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. So anyway, I think I've obeyed him. I'm just a caution. Some of these things, especially the way it was done today, because he didn't really, I don't know, just the way it was concluded. You might sit there and have a tendency to think, oh well, it doesn't really matter, you know, who was blinded or why. Okay, candle lit. Because maybe you're facing something really tough, you know what I mean? But listen, all of these things are important for revival. There's still a lot of verses in there I don't understand. There's too many times people ask me, what does that mean? I just write back, I don't know. I don't know. It's better than, you know, I figure it's better than making up stuff. You know? I mean, if he's shown me something about it, great, I'll share anything I have. But if I don't know what it means, I'll just tell you I don't know what it means. You know? But I'm tired of not knowing what it means. It's not in there for us to not know what it means. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right, so I just admonish you again, if you can, be at the services. And I still haven't said it the way he wants to say it. Okay. Well, I am. I will if I can. So she's like, well, go on. I'm trying. I said, okay, it's like this. Here's the picture he's showing me. What if you were... It's like we're crossing over from where we are to someplace else. But the way I see it right now is one of those ropes across a deep gorge. You know, it's quite a ways over there. But, I mean, you do not want to fall. We're thousands of feet down. It's certain death if you fall. Many have tried to come this way before. Many have tried to come this way. And it's one of those rope or cable type bridges that goes across there. And there's slats. You know, some kind of slats, wooden boards or something. Listen, and yes, sir, and we're crossing it almost blindfolded. We have to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by what you see. Man, that's good. Trouble is, if you're going across there blindfolded, how necessary is it for you that some of those slats not be missing? If you get to a certain area and one or some of those slats are missing, what's going to happen? You're going to fall with all the good intentions. You're trying to cross. You're, you know, scary, but you're trying to cross anyway. Boy, you better hope to God none of those slats are missing where you're about to step. We have got to know what we're doing. And where He's taking us, we've got to have those kinds of understanding. So the admonishment from the Spirit is, maybe that picture will help. I don't want no slats missing from my understanding. I mean, if we're going to cross over here, look at the ones that the enemy has caused to fall before. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. And if God is serving us up slats, I want all the slats in my bridge. I want every one of them to be right where they need to be. So every time I take a step, it's on the firm foundation of his word. And I will not fall. Amen? Okay, I think I said it that time.